hearing a ring. Is it just because I'm getting old, or is it just me?
Yes and no.
Can y'all hear me okay? I'm getting old, but can you hear it? Is it okay? Is there a ring? Say amen if you agree with this after I get through. Lord. Everybody awake. Lord, you're King. Everything I have is yours. Everything that I am is because of you. Every breath I take is because you've given it to me. So, Lord, we're here to receive from you. We're here to receive from you. Receive your love. Receive your mercy. Receive your grace. And we're here to let you have your way with us. So have your way with us here today, Lord. Have your way with us here today. Lord, transform us. Lord, I pray for this church that it would become a lighthouse in the community that would draw people into the kingdom. I pray that we would be little lighthouses drawing people into the kingdom. Help us, O Lord. Grant us grace and mercy as we turn to you in full assurance of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the saints that agree said,
amen.
Turn with me in the book of Revelation to the last chapter, Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. 22:1, then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming down from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Oftentimes we'll sing that little chorus, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's door, sets the captives free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Now, do you have a river of life flowing out of you? That river of life begins in the throne of the living God. Now, have you ever thought about where that river flows? I guess it flows where it wants to. I guess it flows a lot of different places. But one of the main places is into us. And we need to let the flow of the Holy Spirit flow through us. We were never intended to be a reservoir. See, one of the problems... I'm a great supporter of the nation Israel, but we can learn a lot from the mistakes. One of the mistakes was they thought they were to be the reservoir of God's blessings. They were never intended to be the reservoir. They were intended to be the channel of God's blessings. If you need more of the Holy Spirit, you need to let more out. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. I have living water. Now, a lot of y'all know me. You know, I was just sitting here thinking, a whole lot of you mean a whole lot to me. Some of you I don't know very well, but there's a lot of people here. It's a pleasure to get up and see people that I love and care about so much. So they know all these inside jokes, you know. Sometimes I just, number three, and all of you that know joke number three laughs, don't you, you know. This is one of those. Out of your innermost being, to flow rivers of living water. How many of y'all remember that? That's one of my famous, I bet even Mira remembers that. That's one of my famous faux pas where I said, I was all excited, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. It just goes to prove that God can even use our mess ups. You know, that should be the norm for every believer. It should be. It can be. But it's not. This is not the norm. One of the great truths of this age in which we live is that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in believing. As great a man as King David was, even Moses, guess what? The Holy Spirit came upon them. In the Psalm where David was repenting, he said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." In the old dispensation, the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people. Guess what? In the New Testament, in the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. So if you are a believer, a true believer, not a make-believe believer, how many of you know there's way too many make-believe believers running around? They've learned when to say amen at the right place. So Paul's up here preaching and somebody's out there saying, "Amen, brother, preach it." Well, they may just be, they just know how to do it. That doesn't mean they're a believer. There's more to being a believer than just knowing when to say amen. There's something about allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. If you want more, let me just ask you, how many of you would like to have more of God?
Yes!
I want to sort of, if you'll let me, I'm sort of going to lead us through a process where at the end, that's what my prayer is for today. Many true believers stifle the Holy Spirit.
True.
Now, I have once in a while. Oh, wait a minute. How many of us have stifled the Holy Spirit? The Scripture says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. And that word quench is like throwing a blanket on a fire. It quenches it. When God says, do this and you don't, it stifles. It restricts the flow of the Holy Spirit. So there are several things that restrict the flow of the Holy Spirit, and I guess all of them could be loosely defined as sin, but sin definitely does it when you sin. But disobedience, which is really sin, rebellion, unbelief, and doubt, they work to restrict the flow of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions today. Do you trust God enough to obey Him? Really? Really? Ephesians 5:18 tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command. The Greek tense of that verb, some of you call it, many of you know that, means to be continually being filled. It is a present continuous tense. If I want to ask you, are you still full gospel Paul? You still believe in the fullness of the Spirit and all the gifts and all that kind of stuff, don't you?
Yeah.
We believe in the full gospel. I am so glad that I believe in the full gospel. People sometimes say, are you Pentecostal? They may not mean that very nicely, but I accept it nicely. Yes, if you mean that I believe that the Holy Spirit came down and filled a bunch of flawed and fallible people with the power of the Holy Ghost and it turned the earth upside down, yes, I'm Pentecostal. I am proud to be counted. If Paul needed to pray in tongues more than the rest of us, what about me? What about me? Be ye continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I come before you today and I freely confess that I am a leaky vessel. How many of y'all sort of leak? If I want to ask you, the reason I ask if you're still full gospel, if I want to ask you, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Or in our terminology that we usually use, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? I'm asking you, was there a time when you gave God all of yourself and He flowed through you? Now when He flows through you, things begin to happen. Many of us spoke in tongues. Some of us shouted, some of us cried, some of us laughed. A few of you rolled in the aisles, I guess. I don't. All kinds of. But when people say, "How do you know you've been filled with the Holy Ghost?" I say, I don't know exactly how you'll know, but one thing, you'll know. But that's different from what I want to ask you this morning. I want to ask you this morning, are you full of the Holy Spirit? See, you go around certain classes of people, and you say, are you full of the Spirit? And they say, yeah, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost 25 years ago. I'm not asking if you were baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm asking, are you full of the Holy Spirit? Are you overflowing? The key word today, y'all know I sort of do it like this, don't you? I'm sort of going to go like this, but the key word is full. Don't answer this one out loud. It's not exactly a trick question, but some of you may not agree with this. You might have to think about it. Are you as full of the Holy Ghost as you want to be? I know what church people say. No, I'm going to tell you. Let me answer for you. You are as full of God as you want to be. You get what I'm saying? You're as full as you want to be. Well, I would like to be full of God. I just can't seem to connect. I want to praise Him better. I want to be free in worship. I want to witness. I want to testify. I want to lay the hands on the sick and they recover. I want to cast out demons. I want to speak in new tongues. I want to drink any deadly thing and it not bother me. Yeah, I want to do all those things. I just can't. Liar, liar, pants on fire. The reason you can't do it is because you don't really want to, because if you really wanted to, you'd be doing it.
Ouch.
I mean, it hurts me too, brother. See, and I'd like to do a teaching on it sometime, but right now let me just say it. You know, it's like, you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe. But the Holy Spirit doesn't get all of you. And we give Him a pathway through us. But even when we're full of the Holy Spirit, we're not as full as we ought to be. We're not as full of God as we can be. Let me tell you something else. Not only am I a leaky vessel. We're not here to talk about me. It's not about me. But guess what? I can talk about me because Chase would get mad if I say, Chase, you're a leaky vessel. I can't say that, so I'd say me, okay? Not only am I a leaky vessel, I am like a thimble. And God is like an ocean. Some of you came here today relatively full of the Holy Spirit. I want you to leave here more full. Some of you came here exercising the gifts of the Spirit. I want you to leave here exercising more of the gifts of the Spirit. Some of you came here fairly free. I want you to be more free. Some of you came here walking in pretty good obedience. I wanted you to walk here. Leave here walking in more obedience. I want you to listen. Let me just say this. If you're not saved, if you're not part of the kingdom of God, if you haven't declared that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you don't leave here today. Grab somebody and let us pray with you. Grab somebody. But I'm not emphasizing a message to the lost. I'm emphasizing to those of us who follow God. Now, let me draw a line here and say, this is my opinion. I'm going to give you an opinion. I think it's a good opinion because it's mine. It's my opinion, so. But I may be wrong. I believe one of the key things God is doing, not the key thing, not the only thing, but one of the key things that God is doing is He is working in your life to expand your capacity for Him. When you get to heaven, you're going to be full. Some people's thimble will be full. Some people's 5-gallon bucket will be full. Some people's 50-gallon drum will be full because some of us are attempting to allow God to continually stretch us and expand us and make us more like Him. This wasn't in my notes, but I'm going to say it. One of the problems that we run into in this county, good county, loves the Lord, when people get saved, a lot of times they think their opinions match up absolutely with God's. I've often told y'all that I know I'm not right in everything. If you could tell me the few things I'm not right in, then I'll correct them and I'll be perfect. Part of the thing is that God wants us, He wants us to love the people in Orlando.
Like he does.
But guess what? He wants us to learn to love those fundamental Baptists down the street like He does, and we can't because they don't agree with us. They think we're one of those weird people that speak in tongues and do praise and worship. We've got drums in your sanctuary. Those are hard people to love. Yeah, not King James only. Those are hard. Am I wrong? Give me a good gay person to love. You got a gay person on one side? You see, I mean, they're not. Most of them are not. I love gay people. What? They're nice people, most of them. The fundamental Baptists hate my guts. Is it honest, guys? Honest, isn't it harder to love those people that hate our guts? So I want us to do something I think is pretty important for us to allow God to expand us today. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. I'm changing directions. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 25. Jeremiah 25, verse 31. I'm going to pick out the second little phrase in there. Well, let me start with the first part of verse 31. A clamor has come to the end of the earth because the Lord has a controversy with the nations. You know the Lord has a controversy with the nations today? He is entering into judgment with all flesh. As for the wicked, He has given them to the sword, declares the Lord. Are there some issues over which God takes a stand? Marion was talking about us taking a stand. Now, are there some issues that God, I'm going to use the word twice, takes issue with? Are there some issues that He takes a stand over? And we're not quite there yet, but I'm going to sort of go there. Are there sometimes people cross a line that is too far? With all due respect, as much as I can muster for certain elected officials, when God draws a line in the sand, it's a line in the sand.
Right.
Yep. You know, help me out. What's some of the issues that you think that God would really take a stand over, or would upset Him, or would try His patience?
What?
The blood of the innocent.
Yes.
Ooh. Did you have to bring that up? Abortion is a horrible blight.
Yes.
If the blood cries out, the blood of all these aborted babies will come. You know, I've never taken and did a stand on abortion, as maybe I should. But I realize that when people have abortions, really the women, a lot of times the men, it's such a tremendous burden of guilt. And it is not my intent to increase your guilt, because the blood of Jesus will come and cleanse you from all that guilt. But we also have to understand that that's an issue that God detests.
Yes.
The blood of the innocents. Well, who else? What else? Yes, ma'am.
Child molestation.
Pedophilia. Abuse of children. Abuse of the innocents. Abuse of the women. Abuse. What else?
Coming against Israel.
God's chosen Israel. Let me do this real fast. God has chosen Israel. And does he have the right to judge people who judge Israel?
Yes.
He's chosen Jesus. People say, who does God think he is? Do they really say that? Who does God? He's God. Who does God think he is to say that you have to come through Jesus Christ? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me. God's God. He can choose who he wants to. Then guess what? He's chosen people like me and you. In the New Testament, the Word of God says that when people reject us, they reject the one who sent us. Good. What else?
False religion.
Idolatry. People confuse idolatry with metal and wooden images. Idolatry primarily is a mental image.
Anything goes religion.
And it's part of the idolatry of self that man has set up. Rejection of God's word. Rejection of his authority. What? The proud.
Disobedience.
See, now, I'm skimming through this. I mean, I could preach every week on the sins in America and the world of the prior week and take the whole time. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to turn around and look what's going on. So I'm going to sort of skim to this next place. But listen to this. When a person or a nation rejects God's authority, they reject God himself. And when they reject God himself, they reject his offer of grace and mercy. Without grace and mercy, I'm a crispy critter. I am toast. In Marion, about 10 or 12 years ago, y'all probably know part of this story. Some of you have heard it. But a Baptist preacher said, you believe in the second work of grace? Well, he was nice. He liked me. He was trying to be nice to me. You know what he was fishing for? He was fishing. Well, I believe in this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The second work of grace. I believe in the work of grace subsequent to salvation. Now, it can be seconds after, but most of the time it takes us years for the Holy Ghost to get us pliable enough to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I said, yes, I do. But let's go beyond that. I believe in thousands of works of grace. I'm on 7,623 today. I live by the grace of God. Now, flip back. We're in Jeremiah 25. Flip back a little bit to verse 15. Now remember, what's the key word today? Full. I want you to be full, but I want you to listen to this. Verse 15 in Jeremiah 25. For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, says to me, take this cup of the wine of wrath from my hand and come and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. There is a cup of the wrath of God. Mine eyes have seen the glory. I would sing it, but poor Paul would have a nervous breakdown probably in Miriam. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's talking about the wrath, the grapes of the wrath of God being spread out in the winepress of God. See, there is a fullness that God expects us to have. But there's also a fullness of the cup of His wrath. Now, I wish I had a little bit longer, but I could show you the scriptures. When we do the Lord's Supper, you know what? This is the cup of the covenant of my blood, which I've shed for you. Jesus drank the cup of the wrath of God down to the very bottom for us. But just because He did does not mean that there's not a cup of His wrath. For those who reject that, the wrath of God is a very real thing. I want to talk about full. Turn to Genesis chapter 15, 16 for a second. Genesis 15, 16. Are y'all with me? Y'all got a little quieter when I started talking about wrath. 15:16. Then in the fourth generation, this is God talking to Abraham. In the fourth generation, they will return them, your descendants. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. That word full in the Hebrew is shalem. It sounds a little bit like shalom. The root means to be complete. Now, y'all stay with me. Y'all said you wanted to be changed. Look it up in the dictionaries. This word full means complete, but it also means that the root has to do with peace. David Wilkerson talked about flashpoints of judgment. Oh, one that I forgot to mention is militant homosexuality. Militant homosexuality. It's one thing if somebody wants to be a homosexual, it's something else when they're going to force it down our throat that we have to say it's okay. There's great hatred on all sides of this issue. There's more than enough hatred to go around. But David Wilkerson talked about flashpoints of judgment. Times when God says, this is enough. Now, Perry Stone, how many of you listen to Perry Stone even? Do you like Perry Stone? Perry Stone calls the same. David Wilson, flashpoints of judgment. Perry Stone calls it doors that open up heaven. What? Now let me flip. I'm flipping. I go like this. I'm flipping. Stay with me. What is the door that opens up? There are keys that open up. What is the key that opens the door of God's grace? Obedience. If you want to be blessed of God, obey. How many of you right now know people who are walking in stubborn, arrogant disobedience to God? They may be saved. They may be going to heaven. They may speak in tongues. They may love the Bible. They may like good preaching. But they're walking in rebellion and stubborn sin in some parts of their life, and their life is not blessed. Obedience brings blessing. Not partial obedience, not obedience in one thing, not obedience in the things you like, but obedience to God. If He's king, He's king. We sang, everything I have is yours. Everything I am is yours. Guess what? God tests those words. I sang that. Y'all heard this. Some of 20 years ago, 25 years ago, everything I have is God's. And then you know what? He had the audacity to begin to take it. I got really angry with him. See, there is truth in this. There's truth that when you give something to God, he gives much, much, much more back to you. But how many of you know sometimes there's a time frame where he does something? Amen. Y'all looking a little peaked here. See, we think, don't ever listen to a preacher that gets up and says, the Lord told me that if you'll give $1,000 to this ministry today, you'll have $10,000 in the bank by the end of the week. False. Do I believe that if you give money to God from a good motive that He'll repay you? Yes, I do. But it may take 20 years. in a time period, God tests the motives of the heart. Now, how many of you are, shake your head if you're sort of with me so far, that there are keys that you put into the door of heaven, the doors of heaven. You put in a key and you unlock the door, and out of heaven pours blessings. Did you say it? God wants to bless you. God wants to fill you up with all the power of heaven. And if you will be determined that you're going to do what God wants you to do, if you're going to be an obedient servant, if you're going to be dedicated to Him, He will move mountains for you. He will move everything on earth and heaven on for your sake. But what we do is, one of the things that stifles the move of God is we want to hold on to those things that we think's better for us than He does. Who's boss anyway? That Hebrew word has to do with peace. Please listen to this. Harry Stone said this. It really hit me when he said it a few weeks ago. He said, one of the things that blocks the mercy of God is when people become at peace with their sin. When people get comfortable with their little pet sins. Now, don't look at me all spiritual. He may have pet sins. She may have pet. I don't have. Yeah, you do. We got so many that if God were to reveal them to us individually, we'd probably collapse under the weight of them. But the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and He just reveals to us a little bit at a time, doesn't He? But when He reveals to you that something you're doing, some TV program you're watching, or some thought process, or some daydreams, or some imaginations, or some motivations, or some goals and aspirations that you have are not fully of His, when He begins to deal with you over that issue, you need to declare war on that issue and not become comfortable and at peace with that. Are you still with me? The problem with the visible, organized church in America, which is made up of true believers and not true believers, make-believe believers. The problem is that generally that church is trying desperately to be at peace with sin.
That's true.
That's so true. Yeah.
I don't know. Last week, Greg and Gregory were talking to me and said, we're going down to Orlando. What do we say? I said, I don't know. How do you balance? How do you walk in that balance? God loves. You got to have repentance. Because God draws near to the humble. He resists the proud. By our actions, by our negligence to declare war on our own pet sins, we have made it more justifiable for the ones who are living out in drug abuse and all kinds of hellacious things to be at peace with their sin. I'm asking you today, are there some sins in your life that you're at peace with? We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. I'm not here trying to act like I don't have my share of battles. Y'all have been with me in battles. You know we have battles. It's not about having a battle. It's about this. If I could push a button right now and never ever sin again, I'd push it. And as I stand before you right now, I'm in a little bit of a quandary, because I can tell you from the depths of my heart I wish, I hope, I pray that I'll never, ever, never, ever, ever, ever sin again. Not in motive, not in attitude, not in action, not in words. But my quandary comes because I've done that 10,000 times, and before the day's up, Miriam used to make me so mad I'd throw things at her. But you know what? There's no. I just thought of that, Miriam. There's nobody really replaced you in that. Lynn won't let me throw things at her. I threw a few things at Bonnie, but she's too sweet to hit with anything. But you understand. You understand that okay. Let me tell you where I'm going. I'm going to ask you in a minute to cry out for all the fullness of God. If on some meter, I figure if 1 to 100, I may be at 10. I want to leave here at 12. I want my thimble to be a thimble and a half. Some of your 5-gallon buckets, I want to be 7-gallon buckets. I want you to do that. Matt Dow County needs this church to be all the people. The church that I pastor is probably not going to make it. We're probably not going to be what we're supposed to be. Breaks my heart. All I ever wanted was for this county to be reached to the kingdom of heaven. That's all I ever wanted. I've been praying that y'all will do that. What it's going to take is you're going to have to figure out that it's all about Him and not about you. And you're going to have to figure out that if you want to walk in increasing grace, I tell you what, I'm a testimony. I walk in increasing grace. I walk in more grace today than 5 years ago. Why? Because I have learned how to repent. Great repentance is a result of humility. And when you repent, it unlocks that door, and the door swings open to God's grace, swings open wider and more. Floodgates of heaven will pour out. The goal is for you to cry out to God. The step along the process is, I want you to repent. I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to people who chase after God. I'm not talking to a bunch of, most of you weren't in a bar last night. I did hear some of you people went to a gay bar down in Alabama. Let me just read a couple things that I wrote that indicates that you're justifying your little pet sin. I'm not as bad as, what's that sound like? At least I'm not like so-and-so, or I don't do such-and-such. Everybody sins. It's not really that bad. It's not one of the big ones. I'm not hurting anybody else. That's a lie. Sin destroys, and it destroys people that you love. We're going to go back to personal in a minute, but before we do, I want to say this about the country. Perry Stone said this, and I happen to agree with it, but just to evaluate it, he says that God showed him that there was two cups. There's more than two, but there's two cups. There's a cup of the wrath of God, and there's a cup of the grace and mercy. And he says that one of the door points for judgment is when the cup of sin, unrepented for, keeps getting fuller and fuller and fuller. What happens when something gets completely full? Overflows. And that what he sees happening in America, and I agree with, is that the cup of the wrath of God, that there are increasing numbers of people who are shaking their fist in the very face of God and said, who are you to tell me that this is? The cup is full. The cup of grace and mercy is empty. There is hope for our people, a nation, an individual, a people, as long as they recognize that what they're doing is sin and they cry out for grace and mercy. But when a people, an individual, or a nation ceases to see that what they're doing is sin, grace and mercy is ineffective. One other thing about full, and then I hope we'll repent and then cry out for God. Mary Ann Burn. She died. We're going to bring her here, remember? I love Mary Ann Burn. And she wanted to come to our church. She liked us. She said, you don't have to pay me. I'll fly out here on my dime. Just put me up. Y'all are going to put her up. This is a third kind of fullness that I want to just mention. I don't know if she said it publicly, but I know she said it to me and Lynn too. She said, I was ministering at a big church in Houston, Texas. And she said, after I ministered, this lady came up and said, will you go to the hospital with me? My son's in a mental institution. Said he had something, I don't know what happened, but said, you know, she said, will you go pray? I know you believe in healing. Will you go pray? And she said, yeah, I'll go pray. And after the service, she's telling the pastor, and he said, ah, you're wasting your time. Everybody's been to pray with that kid. Everybody that ever comes here. Well, I've been a bunch of times. Everybody goes. We pray. Nothing else. She said she walked into the mental institution. He's sitting in a wheelchair, drooling. Eyes rolled back in his head. And she prayed. He got instant famous. She said, do you think that built me up with pride? No. I was crying out to God. Why? God, how? How did that? And he said, the prayers of the saints fill the cup. And it just so happened that it was your prayer that caused the flow to go over the rim and the healing took place. Don't stop praying. Please believe me. As close as I can learn from my own mother, I'm not trying to be a preacher that gets a full altar. That's not the point of life. But I'm going to ask you in a minute if you want more of God to come up here to the front without any music up. The praise and worship team needs to be here for a moment and then go up. But I'm going to ask you to come up here to the front and just cry out. I don't know. I'm not going to pray for you. I mean, I'll pray with you, but I've done my job. Y'all got to cry. You got to move. And then after a moment, Chase, after the praise team has had a chance to cry out, then y'all can start playing if you want to. I don't know what's going to happen, but I want you to come up here if you want more of God. Now, it's going to cost you. My God is the kind of God who has the audacity to take what you give him. The altar has been transformed by the modern church into a place where you go to receive. There's a truth in that, but the altar, the front of the church, is a place where you go to give. Now let me tell you, when you give, God will not be unfaithful to you. You give it all, you give it all. Oh, that's a pretty good deal. The God who's the king of the world will give me everything he is in exchange for the little bit that I do. Now my motive is, I want to see this town and this county under the Lord.
Amen. The world.
There's more than enough here to do it. So I'm going to lead you in a short prayer. I will pray with you for repentance. And then if you really agree with it, then I'm going to ask you to just come to the front. As if you want to. You don't have to. I'm not going to judge you. Come to the front and cry out from the altar. Heavenly Father, it just hurts so bad. It hurts so bad to sin. It just hurts. It hurts me and hurts the people I love and hurts the people around me and hurts you. So Lord, I deeply repent. I sincerely repent for all these little pet sins that I held on to and said it wasn't so bad. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, reveal to me that one or two or three things in my life that would really make a big difference in my life and the people I love and the church and the county if I would just repent and turn my back on them and walk away. So Lord, I repent. And Lord, I stick that key into the door to unlock grace and mercy, that key of repentance, that key of humility. And I walk away from my pride and my arrogance and my rebellion and my sin. And I say, Lord, I repent. Cleanse me from the tip of my head to the tip of my toes. May I stand before you. I have been made holy by the blood, but I want to stand before you as one who is dedicated to not be like the world, not full of sin, not even playing with sin, not entertaining sin. Please forgive me, Lord. Now, Lord, I know I'm forgiven because I've asked and you're faithful. Now, Lord, as a minister in this pulpit at the moment, I ask that as people come to the front and they cry out to you for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I don't care if they've been baptized 100 times. I don't care, Lord, if they speak in tongues and prophesy. I don't care. Lord, I want them to be fuller. I want you to fill them to overflowing more than they've ever experienced. Give them more of you. Lord, if I'm a thimble, may I be a thimble in my hands. If they're a 5-gallon bucket, may they be a 7-gallon bucket when this day's over. Lord, we cry out for more of you. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless us, open the floodgates of heaven, and pour out you into our lives. In Jesus' name. Anyone who feels like it, come up to the front. And then I'll turn it over to Paul and Chase for when the music starts or whatever.
I think it would be good to do it vocally too, so if you would just say, Lord, I cry out for more of you. Let's just give up a Lord, I cry out for more of you. Feel us, oh Lord, feel me, oh Lord. More of you, less of you.